You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
That music we're listening to now was supposed to have been broadcast from Mars by the Beagle 2 lander. Unfortunately, one of the panels that failed to open, blocking the antenna, and we never heard that music from Mars. But yes, the space show has it. The first rover to successfully operate on Mars was Sojourner. About the size of a microwave oven, this six-wheeled vehicle was delivered to the Ares Vallis Channel in the Crisi Planitia region of Mars on 1997, July the 4th. And that was done by the Mars Pathfinder lander. It was named after United States Civil War era Sojourner Truth, and the rover operated for 83 sols or Martian days. Well, Mark Horning remembers Sojourner, and he has the song about the rover and the Mars Pathfinder. It's called Roll On Sojourner, and this is a concert performance.
Roll on Sojourner, roll on. Roll on, Sojourner, roll on. See an ancient world anew made on. Keep the deep red unforgiving sky. Many a probe has gone to die. Roll on, Sojourner, roll on. She'd never make it, so she was bound to sail. The faster, better, cheaper was no way to set your sail. But she proved her critics round her on the distant foreign shores, exploring where no one had gone before. Roll on, Sojourner, roll on. See an ancient world anew made nigh, 'neath the deep red unforgiving sky. A many a road has gone to die. Roll on, Sojourner, roll on. There's a sargassum sea above the planet Mars, where half the ships have disappeared, lost forever amidst the stars. And pathfinders survived the shores, landed safe and sound, and sojourner shortly on the ground. So roll on, Sojourner, roll on. Roll on, Sojourner, roll on. See an ancient world anew made on, 'neath the deep red unforgiving sky. For many a road has gone to die. Was a little thing like a cartoon, only made to last. As she measured Martian minerals, micro radiograph. She was meant to work for about 1 month, but you know she has to three. But it's blowing dusty sandy deep sea. So roll on, sojourner, roll on. Roll on, sojourner, roll on. See an ancient world with new made eyes. If a deep cred unforgiving skies, where many other probes gone to die. Roll on, sojourner, roll on. Now the mission might be over, but her spirit still lives on. When we take the opportunity to view the Martian dawn, and every new Mars mission like a phoenix from a flame is a tribute to the little ship we name. Roll on, sojourner, roll on. Roll on, sojourner, roll on. See an ancient world where new made eyes. In the deep, dark, unforgiving skies, where many a probe has gone to die. Roll on, sojourner, roll on. Roll on, sojourner, roll on.
On last week's The Space Show, we told the first 6 years in the story of the Mars exploration rover Spirit. This week, we conclude that story. British poet Stuart Atkinson began writing verse about Spirit in 2008. By that time, the rover had travelled from its landing site in the vast Gusev crater to the nearby Columbia Hills. In search of sedimentary rocks, it had climbed to the summit of Husband Hill, descended on the other side, and explored a geological feature named Home Plate. Then, on 2009, May the 1st, Spirit became trapped in a loose sandpit. Try as they might, controllers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena could not coax the craft out of the trap. The Mars Exploration Rover mission became a stationary science platform. The solar-powered craft would have trouble surviving the winter. When, on 2010, March the 20th, Stuart Atkinson posted this next poem, he could not have known just how close to the end Spirit was. And yes, the temperature in Gusev Crater does drop to minus 41 degrees Celsius.
Minus 41 degrees, by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2010 March 20th. I am cold. So cold. Once I felt young. Now, as old as the chipped, frost-nipped rocks surrounding me. Hard to believe I once climbed the mountains of Mars, gazed down on Gusev's big country plain to watch dust devils whirling again and again, cross the landscape beneath my strong wheels. Now I feel, oh, so weary. The weight of the rusty crust lying on my back stoops me like an old man and I cannot feel a thing, can merely flick my dry, itching electronic eyes this way and that, wondering if each picture I take will be my last. Current flows through me grudgingly now. I am hungry for power, starved of it, as thirsty for it as a vampire gone weeks without a kill. The thrill of basking in prickly summer sunshine is just a memory. The low winter sun is sorbet cold, hanging in the sky like a skull, a single vulture circling home plate in oh so slow motion. But I am still alive. Mars, great God of war, declared war on me the very moment I arrived, and every struggle-filled soul since has tried its best to snuff out the guttering candle flame of my life, but failed. And though winter's ice-encrusted fingers dig deep into me now, searching for my heart, desperate to pluck it free and cast it to the whispering wind, I will not give in. Mars, do your worst. Spirit of Earth will not yield.
2 days after Stuart posted that poem, contact with Spirit was lost. It was Soul 2208 of a planned 90-soul mission. The last signal came on 2010, March the 22nd. For more than a year, the antennae of the Deep Space Communications Network were pointed at Mars. Wake-up instructions were transmitted, but no reply was heard. Finally, on 2011, May the 25th, Spirit was formally declared dead. The following year, Stuart Atkinson wrote of how you can still see Spirit in images taken by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. He hopes that one day humans will arrive to lift Spirit out of its sand trap. But, he points out, that may not be for a long time.
Freeing Spirit, by Stuart Atkinson. Posted on 2012 February 13th. There she is, see? That fleck of dust on your screen, black speck just off to home plate's side. Magnifying with high wish mouse clicks reveals her insectoid shape. The shadows of her blue bottle wings cast on the ground beneath as she bathes in the shrunken sun's glow. Her body encrusted in cinnamon-hued dust, still trapped in the cold, sucking sands of Troy, a Terran fly rooted in Barsoomian amber. Never to roll into the shade of crazily capped Von Braun. Never to rove again. So hard to see her standing there and know there's nothing to be done. No hope of rescue, no opportunity to run down Husband Hill's side, through El Dorado's black, crushed beetle sands to stand beside her, brush in hand, and sweep those finds away. It would take how many of us to scoop the dirt out from beneath her wheels? Surely two or three, rover fans, scrabbling with fat-fingered gloves could easily spring her from that trap. And I'm sure that on his own at Mars rover driver could drag her free, heaving and heaving until her liberation was complete. But such a daring rescue is, and forever will remain, a dream. Wheels will never whir this way again, and I fear boots will not crump across home plates humped back until long after I am dead. For mankind is turning its back on Barsoom, relegating it from the next frontier to merely another ruddy star fighting to be seen in Terra's light-polluted sky. I could cry with shame to think it may be another century until another human hand reaches out and touches Spirit, shaking as their fluttering fingers brush away the dust revealing the rover beneath, a pilgrim from the evening star coming face to face with a fossilized heroine from our ancient, foolish age. Or perhaps a thousand years will pass before a lost soul wanders this way, and with all memories of Mare forgotten long ago they'll think they see a statue standing here, sculpted from Gusev's bone-dry basalt by some golden-eyed Michelangelo.
88.3 Southern FM.
Where you're listening to The Space Show. And we're listening to the music of Blur. Well, we're looking at the 20th anniversary of the launch of the Mars exploration rover Spirit and tracking through its history, what it did. Now, Back in 2008, when Spirit had been trundling around and all over home plate, Stuart Atkinson had been more optimistic about humans visiting Mars and placing the rover into a Martian museum. Of course, it is called the MER Museum, the MER Museum.
Journey's End, by Stuart Atkinson. Posted on 2008, December 7th. Through hushed halls they stalked, it seemed, for hours, before reaching the place crudely circled on his map. Padding past cases crammed with ratted, rust-hued stones, bone-pale blades of evaporite, trays of slate-blue berries by the score. A brain-sized metal meteorite, recovered, said the sign, from the edge of endurance itself. Until, at last, the old one stood before his grail. "Is that it?" sighed the young Martian, face pressed against the glass, staring past her own reflection at the machine inside the case. "It's so small, it sounded bigger in your stories, Grandpa. You made me think it was taller than Tars Tarkas on his tote." The old man simply smiled, and in the silence of the darkened Mare Museum knelt down beside the sad-eyed girl and told her, "Look again." Spirit they christened her, and spirit she had, more than many men I've known, more than any gathering of gears and wire had any right to have. The girl looked closer, shielding her sun-starved eyes from the spotlight's glare, wondering how the rover's bird frail, brittle body had not just survived but thrived in Barsoom's brutal cold. If even half the old one's bedside tales were true, this rambler of rust and dust was more heroic than her chieftain could ever dream to be. Perhaps it had scaled mountains after all, driven through dust devil's dervish dances to gaze down upon great Gesev's plain and see old earth set with the sun. Maybe this fragile thing of rock-worn wheels and dust-scratched glass had climbed boldly onto home plates old, humped back and rested there, reflecting Phobos' frosty light. "I remember," croaked the old one, "how we sat at our computers, click-a-clicking through the night, watching picture after picture come to life upon our screens. We walked with her, every bone dry weary mile. When she went lame, dragging her leaden wheel behind, we would have picked her off the salt-choked ground and carried her if we could." But the girl could not hear, lured away by more interesting, more glittery things in other rooms she'd skipped on, leaving him alone to gaze through the glass with Nav and Pan Cam memories clutching at his heart. How he'd cheered on landing day, clapped as someone screamed, "She's bouncing!" Wept when he read the long-dreaded, "She's dead." "You should not be seen here caged so cruelly," thought the old one, frail fingers brushing against her glass-imprisoning walls. "She should have seen you as I imagined you. Staring at the sunset, stood tall beneath titanic Titian skies, dust skipping o'er and filling the tracks of your wheels, the wind whispering your name. Oh, come quick," sang a sudden voice, high and sun-bright from a gallery off to one side. "It's the beagle, you know, the one that got lost." The old one groaned, stood up and sighed, "Forgive her, she's young, one day she'll understand what you meant to those watching on Earth." Then, blinking back tears, walked away from his lost love. Remembering.
And so, spare a thought for the Mars exploration rover that began its Martian adventure 20 years ago last Saturday. Benjamin Newman imagines one possible path to artificial intelligence as our growing team of Martian robots is gradually upgraded to sentience in the service of their original mission. With all of today's talk of artificial intelligence, perhaps this song is relevant. This
The seeker picked a pebble up and turned it in her hand, then raised her ears to listen for new orders from command. But the sky, I said, the sunstorms might go on for several weeks. Too much noise to hear her masters tell her where and what to seek. She called out to the sky eye as she gripped the ancient stone, "Tell my sister when you see her, as of now we're on our own." And the minds of our creations are like any nature grew, loving best the work which they evolved to do. She remembered no beginning, for she had not then been I, only eyes and ears and fingers for her masters in the sky. Her mind was so unformed, her master's world so far away, that to make a single movement took the best part of a day. But her masters were impatient, so her mind they would improve, knowing she could serve them better the faster she could move. And the minds of our creations are like any nature grew, loving best the work which they evolved to do. At first they taught her how to choose a path from here to there, but this was not yet freedom, for they still decided where. Next they taught her some small taste of curiosity, to recognize the features that her masters wished to see. But the seeker's sight was limited, her eyes too near the ground, so she still could not determine where such features might be found. And the minds of our creations are like any nature grew, loving best the work which they evolved to do. The seeker's masters knew she might someday be on her own, so they finally revealed to her that she was not alone. There were others she could speak with, other words that she could say, to the sky eye high above her, or her sister far away. And with collaboration came capacity to plan, and the seeker and her friends cheered, "We can." And the minds of our creations are like any nature grew, loving best the work which they evolved to do. They laid their plans together and set out to see their world. The horizon spread before them, opportunities unfurled. Whether made by man or nature, whether programmed or evolved, minds love best to solve those puzzles they are best equipped to solve, and to know one's own capacities and match them to the goal is the mark of true intelligence, and maybe of a soul. And the minds of our creations are like any nature grew, loving best the work which they evolved to do.
That was Benjamin Newman with Free Spirit. Water has long dominated NASA and other agency planetary missions. One of the objectives of the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit was to find where had water been in the past in Mars. This feature from NASA on their future missions.
How does the discovery of water on the sunlit surface of the moon affect the focus of future NASA missions with respect to further probing the observation of more distant objects and planets, such as meteoroids and asteroids along with Mars?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it by saying I don't think it's going to change it at all, because we've been focused on looking for water all over the solar system for quite a while. Our Mars strategy, how do we pick where our rovers and landers go on Mars, is driven a lot by where do we see evidence of past water on Mars. We want to go and look for how that water has affected Mars and whether there is any evidence of past life on Mars. That's exactly what the Perseverance rover will do on its way to Mars right now. We've also orbited the Ceres asteroid and looked for water on its surface. We're building a satellite called the Europa Clipper, which will be orbiting Jupiter and studying the moon Europa, which is known to have a subsurface ocean on Jupiter, which sometimes breaks through to the surface. So we'll be studying the surface as well as the interior of Europa. We're sending a quadricopter out to Saturn's moon Titan, which has a system, a hydrology system that's based on methane instead of water. And so looking for water all over the solar system is something we've been doing for quite a while, and we've learned that the moon fits right into that strategy.
In 2012, another lander was, or rover, was placed on Mars. It was called Curiosity. And this feature describes what was found out about the landing site, which was Gale Crater.
The one on Mars is in a place called Gale Crater. We sent it there. It's about a 100-mile diameter hole in the ground that formed when a giant impact occurred on Mars about 4 billion years ago. But what drew us to this crater is the mountain that you see in the middle of it. This mountain wasn't there when the crater formed. In fact, it formed as sediment was carried in by rivers and streams and then deposited into this giant lake that filled the crater. And as that sediment settled out from the water, it built up the layers that then made up the mountain. Each layer of this mountain is younger than the one below it. So by climbing this mountain with the rover, we can read the ancient history of Mars. And climbing is exactly what we've been doing throughout most of Curiosity's mission. We're now 1,000 feet above the crater floor. That's as high as some of the skyscrapers in downtown Los Angeles. The progress has just been to continually drill each layer of this mountain, and the samples that Jen described were taken from the lowest part of the mountain about a few years ago in 2015, and it's taken us a few years to get an understanding of these results so that we can describe them to you today.
And this feature from the Goddard Space Flight Center describes the volcanoes on Mars.
Billions of years ago, Mars was able to have highly explosive volcanism, and it's not just a one-off, but we had many episodes of highly explosive volcanism in a sort of short geologic window. Two folks found these things that look like impact craters in Arabia Terra, but they're missing some features, and they have some different features that actually make them look more like volcanic caldera formed from explosions. On Earth, we can't actually see this far in the past in many places because we have erosion on Earth. So we don't have access to a great geologic record for 3 billion years ago on Earth. On Mars, we can see that. We're trying to understand just how large explosions or large lava flows on places like Earth, but also other planets, might affect the climate. So we know from just the last century that very large volcanoes do have a climate impact. This tells us something really important about the history of Mars and in turn the history of just planets in the solar system.
Here we leave the story of the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit. In our first program in July, we will have the story of Opportunity, again told with the verse of Stuart Atkinson. And we thank Stuart for permission to broadcast his verse. This has been The Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie. Hopefully we'll be back next week.